complete dependence, friends, upon our Lord to help us, to guide us, to feed us from his word. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of text to the chapter we read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and in particular verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Dear friends, this day, yearly, is a national day of remembrance. Not to forget the terrible atrocities of two world wars in particular of the last century. Dear friends, none of us here this morning can remember truly the experience of those wars. Some of us can remember the immediate following on from those war, from the last war, with the limited food and drink and the rations that had to be allocated to the various families. But there's very few today who can truly remember the experience of those wars, particularly on the battlefield, and the things that were suffered in our own land from the power of the enemy. So our remembrance is really imaginative. We can only imagine what those dreadful wars were like, from what we've been told, perhaps, in days gone by those who did experience them, or by the records which we read in historical documents. But it is good to remember that we've come to this day through great sorrows, great troubles, through the powers of the enemy that sought to overthrow our nation. We cannot imagine fully the terrible scenes of the battlefield, the risk and the giving of people's lives for the freedom of loved ones back home. We cannot ourselves perhaps fully realise the sorrow and distress that came in news of loved ones which have been killed, either on the battlefield or in the sea or in the air. Those who were bombed in our own land, and many children were made orphans. Many lost their fathers. Wives lost their husbands. Maybe sisters also. Dear friends, there were days of great distress, weren't they? And yet we should be thankful. There were those who were given the will and the strength, the ability to put themselves in the danger of death for the future freedom of loved ones. and also for the wisdom and the skill of the commanders who had to organise the battles and decide how they would be fought. Dear friends, there's thousands, millions, perhaps today, who rightly give thanks in these ways. And under the motto, lest we forget. But dear friends, although those battles were won, the victory was won, it wasn't just through the human abilities. It wasn't just through human strength and wisdom. It was through the hand of God. He caused it to come. And dear friends, there was a purpose for those wars to come. His ways are past finding out. But through his good hand upon us in our land, he gave us the victory. Oh, there's many accounts of how when we were at our vulnerable weakness, the weakest part, when the enemy could easily have come in and overrun our nation, his mind was turned another way and he went in a different direction. There are accounts given, through prayer, many battles were won which seemed to be lost. The good King George VI called the nation to prayer on several occasions. And following those united times of prayer, oh, how the Lord administered things for the good of our nation. And eventually we were brought safely through. The victory was ours. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is the Lord who hath granted us all that we possess this day. Our freedom, our vital things of food and drink, peace, safety. Oh, we've enjoyed it for 80 years without any war, twice the length of time of these children of Israel coming out from Egypt to the Promised Land, which was 40 years. Dear friends, how great is God's goodness in spite of all of our sins. Yet, we must not forget the Lord our God. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Dear friends, these commands, these words of God are written as a record, even for us in these days. How easy it is to forget, and our hearts to be lifted up and to forget the Lord our God. And there's some solemn warnings to those who forget God. May the Lord ever give us truly thankful hearts, day by day, for all his tender mercies toward us. All that we possess is of his goodwill, of his good hand upon us. Now the children of Israel coming up from Egypt towards the Promised Land, this word was spoken to them. Now, dear friends, do notice that all these people to whom these words of Moses was written to, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. For the most part were not those who came out of Egypt. Those who came out of Egypt They rebelled against the word of God. They rebelled against the command of God. And when God said to them, go up and possess the land which he would give them. Dear friends, they saw all the dangers. They saw the risk. They would not go and fight the battles that were needed. And so the Lord commanded, that they would die in the wilderness and they would not see the promised land. But only those who were born in the wilderness would see the promised land. The exceptions, of course, was Joshua and Caleb, who believed God and followed the Lord fully. They came out of Egypt and those two did see the promised land. But many perished in the wilderness. The hand of the Lord was risen against them. And these also that were born in the wilderness, dear friends, they had the hand of God against them also because of their sins, because of their rebelliousness, because of their complaining. And they had, didn't they? They had many things which arose against them. There were the plagues, there was the sicknesses. There was those serpents to bite them, which we spoke of last Lord's Day. Dear friends, it was not an easy way for these born in the wilderness to come to the promised land. But the Lord was ever mindful of them. They were his beloved people. They were his chosen people. He had given them a covenant, as it was in Abraham. But as Abraham was brought to sojourn in the land of Canaan, the promise was that he would give them to his seed, even though it was to be many, many years later. The Lord is faithful that hath promised. He is faithful to his covenants. Even though we may find it so hard to believe at times, for his ways are past finding out. Many things may seem to point in an opposite direction. But, as Moses said to the children of Israel here as they came to the border of the promised land, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. How had he led them? He had led them to humble them. He'd led them to prove them. To know what was in their heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Dear friends, is not that the way the Lord always leads his people? Their own hearts within them that are not humble, are they? We are born with hardness of our hearts. We determine to go our own way. To do that which is right in our own sight. We have our own will. We have our own plans. We have our own schemes. We have our own determination. And dear friends, those things will lead us more and more into the ways of sin. The ways of unrighteousness. The lusts of our flesh. And oh dear friends, the way to perish. In the broad way which the Jesus speaks of. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Oh, how solemn. But the Lord is the keeper of his people. Though they are not saints in their righteousness of themselves, dear friends, they are beloved of him. Therefore, as the word says, he humbled thee. He suffered thee to hunger. He fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Dear friends, we do live, don't we, daily in our earthly lives, with our necessary food, drink, clothing, homes, and so on, we may go on. The Lord knows what we have need of, even before we ask. He knows that we have need of all those things. And dear friends, we have to be thankful day by day for all the provision that we have in this respect. We're very comfortable, aren't we? We live in affluent days. The Lord has granted us, as we might say, an abundance. We do not have to think where our next food is coming from. We don't have to think where our next drink is coming from. Yes, we have sicknesses, we have pains, we have troubles. Dear friends, it's all of the Lord's hand. Our times are in his hand. All events are at his command. And these things, dear friends, if we are of his people, they're to teach us, they're to humble us, to know what is in our heart. What is in our heart? Do we know what is really in our heart? Do we find faith in our heart by nature? No. Do we find glory to God in our heart by nature? Do we find thanksgivings in our heart to God by nature? No. In our hearts we glory in ourselves. We're pleased with our own endeavours. We're satisfied with our own achievements, and so we may go on living unto ourselves, preferring ourselves before others, seeking our own good. And dear friends, how much that is taught, isn't it, today? That as we grow up, children at school, in education, to do that which is for their own best, to do that which they consider is right, for their own good, and not to respect authority, not to respect teaching in the things which are contrary to their own mind, and to correct them, to show them the ways that are right. Oh, let us do what is right in our own eyes. Dear friends, that's as it was in the days of the judges, wasn't it? Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Is that not predominantly the trend of today? How solemn it is. And dear friends, if the Lord did not work within our hearts, that's the way we shall all go. We shall all remain in it. What a mercy it is that the Lord has a people whom he will form for his praise. And this people have to be taught. They have to be led forth by the right way. They have to be brought humble before the Lord our God. We have to be taught what is in our own hearts. Then we shall remember the Lord our God. Now, to keep the commandments of the Lord our God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Oh, dear friends, what a teaching this is, isn't it? What is what the Lord has promised? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Dear friends, this is not only providential for our earthly lives as it was with Israel, which was a type of the spiritual life the Church of Christ are to live. His mercy and a goodness to follow all the days of one's life. But dear friends, this is how he deals with us in our soul. His people, whom he forms for himself. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. What is the wealth of our soul? We read, don't we, the riches of Christ's grace. The riches of his grace. Who gave himself a sacrifice for our sins. That we are bought with a price. We are delivered, we are redeemed, that is, from the power of sin. Our transgressions under his righteous law, they're blotted out, they're paid for. The punishment is being applied to the dear Son of God. The Holy One, the Just One, he that was without sin, who was given to be made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, tempted in all points such as we are, but he without sin. And therefore, dear friends, without sin, he was the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, the innocent one to bear the sins of others in his death. As was the type of the Old Testament, where those of Israel, when they sinned outwardly, they brought their lambs and their bullocks in accordance with the law and sacrificed them, as if their sins was then laid upon those lambs and bullocks, and they slew them on account of sin, their own sin. And so they were cleansed outwardly, that they could carry on in their life amongst the Jewish people, amongst the Israelites. But dear friends, their souls, as you've often heard me say, they were still sin-sick souls. They were still a sin again. They'd have to bring those sacrifices again and again and again, every time that they sinned. To keep themselves clean outwardly. But Christ the Lamb, he bore the sins of his people upon his own soul. He poured out his soul unto death. His soul, he said, was exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Made sin for us. To blot out all our transgressions, the perfect sacrifice for sin. That we might have wealth, power to get wealth, power to get the knowledge of this saving grace of Jesus Christ. Now, what is that power? We've got no power of ourselves, have we? We are born dead. Trespasses and in sins, and that which is dead has got no power. But the power is the gift of God. The power is the gift of God unto his people. The gift of faith. That blessed gift of the Holy Spirit. The power of the teaching of the Spirit, of the truth as it is in Jesus. Power to believe. And in power to believe, dear friends, we have power then, don't we, to repent. We have power to confess our sins. We have power to submit to his righteousness, not our own. Power to seek his ways. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father in the eternal life but by him. That power is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, and the prayer, isn't it? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from my mind. And open all mine eyes. Is that your prayer, dear friends? The power of the Lord, of the Spirit to be known within you. Convince you of your sin. And lead you to Jesus' blood. Oh, look unto me, says Jesus. Oh, didn't we have it last Lord's Day morning? As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye nations of the world, ends of the world. There's the power to be delivered from our sinful self, to look unto Jesus, and to know that out of those depths when we cry unto him, there is forgiveness with him, that he may be feared. A fear that draws us to him, knowing that without that love and mercy, without that grace, we shall perish at the end of our lives. Oh, it's to know the grace, this is the power, to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that we, by his poverty, might be made rich, rich. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Dear friends, that covenant was given in ages of old, wasn't it? Not the covenant of the physical promised land, which was given unto the sons of Jacob, as we have read here in this chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. This wasn't the covenant of that precious promised land, but it is a covenant of eternal life. And that becomes the spiritual promised land, doesn't it? Heaven above. That covenant of grace, which is through Jesus Christ, who came to establish it. This new covenant, says God, in that day, not as the covenant as I gave you as you came out of Egypt, which covenant ye break, that was the covenant of works. That if we should obey the law of God in every aspect, yes, we shall live eternally. There's no sin in us. But that has never been achieved because of the weakness of mankind in the flesh. The law could make nothing perfect when we've sinned. But the bringing in of this better hope did, a covenant of grace, which is through Jesus Christ who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. That the law of this covenant, new covenant, shall be placed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And dear friends, that will have an effect upon us in all we think and say and do. It's the forgiveness of our iniquities and our sins to be remembered no more. That love shed abroad in our hearts. And we then, in love to the Lord, dear friends, we love him who first loved us. Christ becomes the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. Dear friends, you've heard me say this again and again, haven't you? Because it is the truth, and we must preach the truth. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, dear friends, will apply the truth to each of our hearts. Not only just once, but again and again, to establish his covenant. And dear friends, in the establishment of his covenant, he will lead us in ways to keep us humble. He will lead us in ways to prove what is yet in our own hearts by nature. He will cause us to hunger at times. Hunger and thirst after his righteousness. We read, didn't we, of his chastening. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Why does he chasten his people? Because they depart from his ways. They do that which is not right in his sight, like a father correcting his children, to bring them up in the right way. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. Dear friends, that's how we get established in the covenant. We obey his voice. We obey his commands. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. That's the heavenly kingdom spiritually, which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Oh, dear friends, there's no blessing in disobedience, is there? And he causeth these things to come, to hunger and thirst, times when his absence, we mourn an absent God. Our iniquities separate between us and God. Our sins hide his face from us, the scripture tells us. And dear friends, that's to bring us again humbly. Humble, to humble us, to prove what we may know what's in our heart. And we shall only live by his word, the word of God. Not what we possess, not what we shall do. We can only add sin to our sin. But what is the word of God? Oh, that blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, what precious promises there are. I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. He is faithful that hath promised. And we prove that it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Dear friends, we are brought to learn these things through difficulties, sadnesses, trials, tribulations, that we depend upon him and upon his covenant more and more. We don't enjoy chastening, do we, of the Lord? But whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We don't enjoy times of hunger and thirsting spiritually, as we don't enjoy hunger and thirst naturally, physically, when they do come. Oh, we have to be thankful that we don't live in such times like many do upon this earth, and perhaps many of our forefathers have done. Oh, the Lord has been very gracious to us. But how easy it is for our hearts to be lifted up, to forget the Lord our God, and to say that by our own power, by our own might, we have gotten us all this wealth. Dear friends, it isn't of ourselves. We don't give our own heart to the Lord by ourselves. If we could, then Paul would have spoken of it when he was before King Agrippa. King Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Did Paul say, then give your heart to the Lord? No. Paul said, would to God, that not only thou, but all these that are together here be the same as I am, except those bonds. Would to God. You see, in the Old Testament, it's my son, give me thine heart. And the Lord will bring us, by the power of the Spirit, to that we are compelled, or through the sense of sin and need of pardon, to pour out our hearts before him in humble confession. Dear friends, that's the right way, to humble us before him and to become a sinner saved by grace. It's then, dear friends, we're to remember the Lord our God in all things that concern us. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Oh, dear friends, is it the object of our first desire, Jesus, crucified for us, that we might live as sinners, yes, saved by that grace, and have a hope of eternal life? Then in everything give thanks. Oh, it's the scriptures, isn't it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Dear friends, this is our instruction. Our instruction this morning. Our instruction for the days that are before us. Oh, didn't Jesus teach his disciples to pray, "Let thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven"? To keep the commandments of the Lord thy God. Jesus spoke many commandments concerning his love to them. They were to show that love one to another. They were to obey his voice. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is a day of remembrance today, isn't it? Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Oh, dear friends, let us not despise these commands. May they be the subject of our heart's desire, seeking the Lord, that we may honour him in all we say and all we do, through that which he hath revealed within us. Remembrance Day. Yes, dear friends, today is a remembrance day for his great goodness to our nation, not only just from the two world wars, but for the centuries. Since the Reformation. Oh, if it wasn't for the Lord raising up those under the power of his Spirit in the time of the Reformation, we wouldn't be as we are today. Oh, the Word of God, hidden for the most part, would yet be in Latin, which most of us, all of us perhaps, cannot understand. I was taught Latin when I was at school, but I couldn't understand it. I didn't pass any exams. It was so complicated. But oh, we have the Word of God before us. Let us meditate upon it. Let us plead with the Lord that he will make us obedient to his Word. Obey his will, his revealed will. Obey his sovereign will. Obey his commands to walk in his ways and to fear him. And so, dear friends, to remember the Lord in all things, providential things, but mainly spiritual things as well. I shan't say mainly, together with providential things, in all things. Remember the Lord our God, who hath supplied all our need, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Oh, dear friends, that promised land of the children of Israel, they did enter through his mercy. That promised land of eternal life, I trust is before us each. Then let us press on. Press towards that mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Do all things in remembrance of him. Obey his commands. Walk in his ways and in his fear. Amen.